Thank you and good morning. I know that by this time in the conference, we're equally parts rejuvenated and exhausted, so I really appreciate you being here today. And so what I have to present is some work we did with low-income urban mothers in Memphis, Tennessee, regarding their infant feeding practices. And I'm reporting on behalf of myself, but also Dr. Williams and Dr. Ishida. I have nothing to disclose. And in terms of infant feeding, especially breastfeeding, it's recommended that infants be exclusively breastfed for the first 6 months of life, with continued breastfeeding through at least the first year or two, depending on which reference you're looking at for that. And so what we know, though, is, I can advance this with the, there we go. Breastfeeding is linked to a reduced risk of infant and maternal health risks. Things like quicker healing from childbirth for the mothers and lower risks of sudden infant death syndrome and infections, respiratory infections, and those kinds of things for infants. At the same time, the early introduction of solid foods is also associated with chronic conditions for infants as well. So with this information, we have been tracking nationally the breastfeeding rates and the introduction of solid food rates across the nation. And nationally, about 80% of our infants are ever breastfed, so mothers initiating breastfeeding, while only about 20%, 19%, are exclusively breastfed for 6 months. And similarly, more than 40% of infants have solid foods introduced before 4 months of age. So when we think about the health benefits of breastfeeding and waiting or delaying the introduction of solid foods, and also look at what's currently happening, it's important to consider the social environment that may influence mothers' infant feeding behaviors and the advice that they receive. And because of this, we have some really great interventions happening in terms of social support with health professionals, the infant's father, the mother's own mother, so the baby's grandmother, and mother-in-law as well. But what we really need to look at and consider a little deeper is the mother's social network and the influence she receives overall from that network. So to do that, we look specifically at normative beliefs. How important others, people who mothers consider to be important, think the baby should be fed. And this can be linked to intention and behavior, as normative beliefs are part of subjective norms, which are part of the theory of planned behavior. And so there was a study done with WIC moms and families, and what they determined was that family and friends with infant feeding experience, particularly those like the mom's own mom and her friends, were generally seen as credible and important. And they tended to follow the advice from these folks, even if it went against that they received from health professionals. So what we learned from this is that those who have an important opinion are indeed important to moms, especially if they consider their advice to be credible. So what that really led to our question of who has an important opinion about how to feed the baby, and are these people perceived as having providing current infant feeding recommendations as well. If we can determine who these people are, those who are important and provide current recommendations, we may be able to then target them for interventions. So that led to our first study aim, which was to understand the types of relationships or the characteristics of the relationships mothers have with people in their infant networks, infant care networks, that are associated with whether or not mothers identify their network members as having an important opinion and as providing current infant feeding information. So like I said, if we can identify these people, we may be able to evaluate and increase the currency of information provided to mothers, which may then positively affect the infant feeding behaviors. And so secondarily, we also wanted to compare these folks with people who have an important opinion about how to feed the baby, but are not perceived as providing current information. So these may also be people we want to target in our interventions as well. So to explore this social influence, we actually interviewed 107 mothers in Memphis, but one had a lot of missing data that we needed to exclude from this analysis. So we have 106 moms total, and we asked the mothers, who has been important to you during the past year, and who is important in your daily life, especially in caring for and feeding the baby? And so through these two questions, moms enumerated their infant care networks. And the 106 moms enumerated 371 network members, which averages about 3 to 4 people per network. And the range was anywhere from 1 person to about 11 people. So of these people, 371 people that they enumerated in their networks, we asked these two questions, which really lead to our outcomes. Whose opinion is important to you about how you feed your baby? And who tells you about current infant feeding recommendations? So through these two questions, we were able to create our multiplex variables as our outcomes. So in describing the sample, moms were on average about 24 years old, and the majority of those that we interviewed were African-American. They were new moms versus expecting moms. The majority participated in WIC, and they were not married or living with a partner. And in terms of who's providing important and current information, just a little bit more than half had at least one person in their network that fit that role. So we also looked at some of the network member descriptions as well. So the things in green are really their relationships, things like spouse or partner, mother, healthcare professional. Spouse and partner and mother and really family relationships were listed most often, and healthcare professionals, only about 5% of the 371 people listed were important to mothers. And then looking at the characteristics, those things in blue there, 43% of the people listed by moms were people who also gave advice on how to feed the baby. 56% had an important opinion, an opinion the mother thought was important, and about a quarter of them the mother perceived as providing current infant feeding recommendations. So through this, the last two variables there in red are our outcomes. Who is important and providing current information, and who is important and not perceived as providing current information. And you can see that the sample sizes, the ends are a little bit divergent. 71 of the 371 total are important in providing current information versus 138, almost double, are important but not providing current information. So to do this analysis, we used a two-level logistic regression model to account for the clustering of network members within networks using HLM version 7. And so looking at our first outcome of who's important and current, we looked at the participant level variables of whether or not they participated in WIC, their education, and their network size. And the two in red, education and network size, were significant in bivariate analysis, so we continued those through as covariates. And then looking at the relationship level variables, we looked at a variety of different relationships, partner, mom, healthcare provider, sister, grandmother, those kinds of things. But the three in red here were significant. And we also asked them the characteristics of their relationship. Who helps you with feeding the baby? With whom do you discuss how to feed your baby? And who gives you advice on how to feed your baby? And so putting all of those that are significant in red together in a model and using backward elimination for the final model, our results of those who are important and perceived as providing current information were likely to be healthcare professionals, with pretty high odds ratio of 11. So compared to people who are not healthcare professionals, things like doctors, nurses, lactation consultants, WIC nutritionists, those who are healthcare providers had 11 times the odds of being considered important and current. And then also those who advise on how to feed the baby. So while these people were the ones that were perceived as having an important opinion and providing current information, on the reverse end, spouses and partners or the baby's father versus other network members had a lower odds of being perceived as important and providing a current recommendations. And so this is perhaps where some work needs to be done in terms of continuing to work with partners. So looking at our second aim with the outcome of who's important but not providing current information, we followed the same model and method as before, only this time there weren't any participant-level variables that were significant in bivariate analysis, and the ones here in red at the relationship level were, and so they were included in our model. And what we learn about those who are important but not perceived as providing current information are likely to be partners, not a surprise considering our previous results. And they are also likely to be people who help with feeding the baby and discuss how to feed the baby. So we're really seeing a difference in the kind of support provided in these two groups. So everybody in these two groups had an opinion that was important to the mother, but those who were perceived as providing current information were really those providing informational support, versus those not perceived as providing current information were providing tangible support. So people like healthcare provider versus partner. Healthcare provider you might see, you know, once or twice a month, four times a month, depending on how often you're going in the early stages. But a partner you see every day, or if you're living with them. But if not, also the people who help with feeding the baby and discuss how to feed the baby are the people in the trenches with you. They're the people that if you can't reach a healthcare provider, or if you have a question, or if something's just not working, they're the people you're likely to turn to. So really the key findings are that those whose opinions about how to feed the baby are important and providing current information are people providing informational support. And those who are important and not providing current information are those providing tangible support. And really what we need to do is investigate who provides this kind of advice and how current is their actual information they're providing. If they're perceived as providing current information, is the information actually current? We need to be asking moms, who helps you with feeding the baby? Or who do you think will help you with feeding the baby? These may not be our typical people that we think of, and perhaps we need to incorporate some of those folks in our interventions as well, bringing them along to WIC appointments, bringing them along to doctor's appointments, those kinds of things. There are some limitations in that we purposefully sampled low-income and ethnic minority women in Memphis, and the self-reported and cross-sectional data generally makes it less generalizable to other places. And the network data that we have is ego-centered, meaning we only asked mothers about their perceptions of their networks. We didn't go then and interview their network members to verify. So the general take-home message is that our interventions targets should continue to be partners. We're doing a good job there, and I think continuing to do that is important. But also we need to be asking moms, who helps you with feeding, and with whom do you discuss how to feed the baby? These people, in addition to partners, may also be important for our interventions. And then thinking about our first aim, looking at those who provide advice, because they are also considered to be important and providing current infant feeding recommendations. And so how current and true is their actual advice that they're providing? And then also, we should consider how to do outreach and communication from healthcare professionals. How can we get some of those people that are helping to feed the baby involved with mothers as they make these connections with folks that they trust, but perhaps they don't really see all that often? How can we better bridge and provide a spread of information to both moms and the people who help them? So this work would not have been possible without the support and funding from the Collaborative Health Disparity Research Incubator Grant from the Center of Health Equity Research at the University of Memphis School of Public Health. And we'd like to thank the participants for sharing their story, and the clinic staff who helped with recruitment, and of course the research team. Thank you.